What a blessing.
You know, when she was doing that, the Lord was reminding me of what He did for me. I don't deserve what I've got. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve any of it. But He died that we might have life. When we're praying for people and we're interceding and we're doing all these things, we need to keep in mind that we're worthy because He's worthy. We're holy because He's holy. He became us. We're sanctified because He's sanctified. Purified because He's purified. Not of our flesh, but of our spirit. That's why we must be born again. You know that Israel for a long time was, the land was barren and dry. Still is. But God has brought water to that land in the natural. And Israel is the greatest exporter of roses now in the world. I didn't know if you knew that. It says the rose will bloom in the desert. It's doing it. But it's even deeper than that. You know, it talks about Mount Zion. Mount Zion, really, the natural meaning is it's a dry land. But God says He's going to water the land, the former and the latter rain. Mount Zion that He loved. And where they believe where Abraham offered up Isaac is where the Dome of the Rock is. Now one day there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And that crummy palace to Satan is going to come down. It's going to come tumbling down just like Jericho. It's going to be gone. And it may not be until Jesus comes and puts His feet at the Mount of Olives. But I'll guarantee you, it's coming down. And see, the enemy knows that that's sacred ground, and so he's encompassed it, and he's trying to protect it. But he can't stop the Lord. You know, he has lied to himself for so long, he thinks he's going to win. That's the trouble with a chronic liar. They even believe their own self. It's true. They just lie and they just believe, you know, they wouldn't know what truth was if it hit them. So I'm blessed this morning for this. I think we all were. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Rob, have you got the latest report on what our website's doing?
Yeah, we're up to 62,000 some odd people this morning. Last Thursday, I didn't check how many countries, but as of last Thursday, we're up to 55 countries.
55 countries. 62,000. You know, it's gaining. I was looking at the list he gave me from, like, every 2 weeks. And some of those countries, like Canada, had jumped over 250%. The percentage is just awesome, the way it's growing. And see, that's a website for God's people. We haven't personally put our little name on there saying this is us. The us is God's church. The us is to share this with the world. And I know that's why God's blessing it. And it hasn't even begun. It's just getting started. I mean, it's beginning to roll. And when God's behind something, it'll just keep growing. And He's behind it because it's touching lives. People are getting saved. People are being blessed. People are getting healed. We pray over their requests. And so sometimes we look around and say, well, we're not very many. We're few. But it don't take very many. It really don't. It's people who have a heart for the Lord. And this little church has a ministry connection now that goes around the world. 55 countries now? Now think about it. Yes. The last country was Russia to come in. And Russia's big, you know, and you get to thinking about it. And Rob now has got tapes from Catherine Kuhlman and some of the old timers. I mean, we're really going to zap Satan. We're really going to whack him, because people are going to tune into that, and there's nobody to tell them they can't. If they got a computer, that you know, they start looking around. Breadsite is one of the first ones you run into. God has anointed. Come up, you want to say some more? I'm sure. Got a mic?
Hello, testing. Can you hear me?
I'm not sure exactly how many countries. I know it's well over 100. I saw in the company I'm doing the web hosting with, they claim they have people from over 108 that are actually they're servicing. That's just that one web hosting. So I know the Internet's in at least 108 countries of the world. I strongly suspect because of the some of the countries we've got coming in are so small, and some of them are even island nations and things like that, that the Internet is literally worldwide. I don't think there's any country right now that you cannot get on the Internet and view this website from at this time. Yeah, we already have. We're about maybe a little bit more than a third of the way. I think that there's probably about 140 maybe nations in the world, I would guess. But one of the things that's real interesting, a man wrote in from Iran, and he thanked me for having such a website on there, and he says I didn't know a lot about Jesus Christ. He's, I guess, a Christian, and he was thanking me, and he says I'm going to be coming in every day to read these testimonies and so on. And so this person's from Iran coming in and learning about Jesus. So it is touching people.
First off, they were talking about the website, and it's really amazing. Most of us, I don't think you realize how amazing it is. I can't hardly stand up, much less hold it up. Because TBN was talking about their website. They have one, too. And they were talking about 300,000 or 400,000 people. And when you consider 66, did you say, for a little place like this? 62,000, and compare that with TBN, look how what we're doing. I mean, gee whiz, their TBN is all over the world. They are hundreds of times, thousands of times bigger than we are. And yet we're doing that well. I think it's amazing. Another couple of things that have happened to us that I need to speak about is the fact that we had the Jehovah's Witness come to our door the other morning, and I thought it was really neat because they were trying to preach to my little wife, Donna, here, and she was coming up with some good stuff. And she listened to them, you know, for quite a while, and I just kind of ignored them and went on my way and walked around outside and whatever, and finally I came back, and they're still out there talking. In fact, the people out in the car, they were hollering at them, hey, we need to get going. Boy, they were there quite a while. Probably 20 minutes before I came out there, or maybe a half hour even. So I finally went out to see what was going on, and they're standing there talking, you know, and she's telling them that, well, you know, the problem with you people is that you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And without it, you can't stand here and tell us anything because you can't read the Word of God and understand it. So how do you know what you're talking about? You know, you don't. So I thought that was really sharp for her, came across with that. And then they came back, and the answer was really neat. I had to laugh, in fact, almost in their face. They said, well, you know, we've been told that before. I thought, whoa, okay. Oh, they already understood all that. Then I thought, well, why aren't you listening? Don't you know the truth will set you free? And but anyway, then we had a couple other things going on there. They were talking about the Trinity. Well, they don't believe in it. And we said, well, there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and there's one God. Well, that's all right. But don't you know that they said, if you got an encyclopedia, if you look it up in there, it just says Trinity means three. That's all it means. I said, oh, okay. So after they left, I went and looked it up, and in the Webster's Dictionary says that the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as God. So they were kind of lying to me, weren't they? Yeah, they didn't know what they were talking about. And the more things that we ran into like that, the more we found out they didn't know what they were talking about. Of course, we knew that before. But another thing that was kind of awesome then, the wife came in and we were playing a record or a tape. And it was about the Lamb of God. It was a gal and she was singing about the Lamb of God. And Lamb stuck in my mind. And I got to sit down to say this. I'm going to fall down if I don't. I can't witness about this without sitting down. I found that out right away. So I'm... what happened was Lamb stuck in my mind, and I thought, well, Lamb, yeah, Lamb of God, well, that's Jesus. He came to earth, and as the Lamb of God, which supposedly a lamb is real helpless and so forth, you know, and I understood all that. And the lamb is also endangered by everything around it because it has no defense at all. It can't defend itself in any way, and that's the way Jesus was. He was not defenseless, but yet he was in the flesh as the Lamb of God. He was a defenseless little lamb that was going to be stomped on by the world, you know, and we understand that. But when I looked up this word, oh, Twitter paid me beyond anything I can explain to you, and I'm sure it will you too. It said three or four different things. It said that lamb meant to take it on the lamb, to run off. Okay, all right. It meant a small sheep. This is the one that really got me. Lamb means its flesh as food. I never realized that till I read it. And when I did, the Holy Spirit hit me so hard, just like he's doing right now, that I just had to sit down. I couldn't stand up. But I just wanted to witness to that, because I don't think most people have looked that up and realized what it really meant. And then I thought, wow, no wonder the Father called him the Lamb of God. It's flesh as food. Can you imagine that? Ooh.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Just sit down there. He said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Yes.
I heard that.
Uh-huh.
Hi, my name's Robert. My grandma said that God wanted me to talk on the microphone. I feel happy for the pastors because see, they're the person that owns this church. And we also love God, too, right?
Right.
That's good. There's this lady that we saw that is homeless. She's by Ross. And do you want somebody pray for her?
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. It's on. It's on.
My name is Jessica. I'm kind of 9. And then sometimes I pray to Jesus. And sometimes me and my brother play a game about him. And then we like him because he has to do some things. But sometimes we get in trouble, but we do good.
Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
There's something I wanted to say once more. My sister said last night that she saw the angel before. And I just wanted
to... I saw angel and then she had a far cone dress. But you can't really see her. She was just where I was. And then when I've been sleeping, I dream about it. It had a sparkle Buddha. She was kind of about this big and this short. It was so cute, and it even had wings to fly.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord.
I guess the guy wants it back. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for the homeless. Oregon is one of the top states for homeless people. They was just talking about that. Father, right now, Lord, we just send out by the power of the blood of Jesus and by the Holy Spirit, by the Lamb of God, as it were, to these people, that they find you and be fed, and that Lord, you would bring people to their aid to minister to them. Lord, it says in your kingdom you never found one begging bread. So, Lord, that they find you and come into your kingdom, we'll just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I want to look today in 1 Samuel for a little bit. Chapter 2. We're gonna get into about the Ark of the Covenant a little bit. We're going to talk about, I forgot an announcement. Tonight at Kingwood Church, it's over here by the old grade school, we're having the West Salem Pastors Association is having a all-church get-together at 6 p.m. And so they take turns, different pastors speak and do things. And so it's a time when we've gone to them, that it'll be a blessing to you. You go over there and it's bringing the pastors together from all the different denominations. And they come together and they forget. They leave all that at the door, as it were. And they come in, and we really have a neat time. So if you have time tonight, Kingwood is over here. I think it's almost straight down from, what's that, Circle K down there? Down the street? Plaid Pantry, whatever it is. If you just go straight down from there, you can find it. It's about four blocks down. Huh? Oh, yeah, Prayer Walk America. We was going to fly back to 6 p.m. if you didn't get that down, at Kingwood Bible Church. Prayer Walk America, we was going to fly back there. We found out that they're going to fly back here the next day. So we wasn't going to go out there and then just fly back. So we're going to be blessed because they're going to come here and John is going to preach here on that Sunday morning. And that was his choice. I think it's really neat that he wants to come here because he's involved with churches that are very large. He's going to speak then Sunday night at the Baptist Church in Jefferson. It's a huge Baptist church in Jefferson. I don't know if any of you, did any of you ever go over there when he was here before? Okay. That would be a time we'll announce more and give you directions at that time. But when he flies back here, on a Saturday, we're going to take him over from the airport. We'll take him over to step back into the Pacific Ocean because he just stepped into the Atlantic. Right. He's coming back and you say, what's all this about? It's a spiritual thing. Right. He's walked from top to bottom and now he's walked across. Does that remind you something, the cross? And I believe that many strongholds have been broken where they went. And last time John was here, it was on a Monday night, and I cried and bawled the whole time he was here. The conviction of the Lord and for the lost was just all over me. I couldn't help it. I just kept crying and weeping. And I'll tell you what, he's as far as giving a message, I've heard him more than once, and he's probably more anointed than anybody I was ever around. And I've been around some big hitters like Benny Hinn and Oral Roberts and some of those, but John is, when he gives a message, it gets to your heart. It really, because God gives him exactly what the people in the particular place need to hear. And so it's going to be a time of rejoicing. It'll be November 14th. Yes?
I've had some people recommend that if Arthur Blessed comes, that we should try to get him into the Nazarene Church in Cornelius because it's so great. But I feel somehow that they would appreciate this man as well because I didn't know about this.
Well, see, when he comes back to do the Sunday night thing, that's that pastor's association in Corvallis, Albany, Jefferson. And so he's already spoken in the Nazarene Church. And the ones from the Nazarene Church will go over to the Baptist Church because it's a large association of pastors. That's Church of the Valley. And so that's neat because down there the pastors of those several towns have been getting together for quite a while. And the presence of the Lord is with them. And John, going across the United States, had more Baptist churches open up than any other, which I think is really great. I mean, this man is charismatic all the way. And he's been on the front of cover of Billy Graham's magazine. Bill Bright gets weekly reports, and when he gets to the East Coast and steps in, they're going to have cameras there. And so he's going to probably be on Christian TV. Hopefully he'll be on all TV. Lord, we just thank you for John and Sandy, Lord, and what you put on his heart, Lord. Because where he's walking now, the trucks go by every 20 seconds. There's no shoulder on the road. Lord, I know your hand is upon him. And keep John and Sandy safe to finish this, Lord, that you've sent him to do. And we'll just give you the praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, back to what's at hand. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And there was a priest when Samuel come along by the name of Eli. And if we pick up on verse 22, we're going to see about Eli's sons. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is a very wicked thing that's going on. These young priests are having women right in front of the church. Right there, they're having sex. And it's an abomination to God. And because Eli wouldn't correct his sons, the Lord gave a prophecy that they would perish. He's going to lose both these sons. If we move on through this, verse 34, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. And I will build him a secure house, a sure house. And he shall walk before mine anointed forever." Well, how many knows that that's prophesying again about Jesus? See, Jesus is in the whole scriptures all the way through. He said, "I'm going to bring somebody that's going to do that's in my heart. He's going to do the things." Now, David had a heart after God. You can follow the line, but it's talking here about having a heart for God. These priests had no heart for God. They were just there to do their own thing. Now, if we go on through this to chapter 4. And they're in war with the Philistines. And it says in verse 10, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell in Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." So it came to pass what was spoken by the prophet. Now the Ark of the Covenant was the power at that time. That was where the mercy seat was. That's where the Lord himself would come and sit. Okay? And what we're going to get to today, as we go through this, we're going to get to a place where we have greater than the Ark of the Covenant. Greater than anything else has come. Okay? Now, if we look at verse 18, Eli is hearing the news of this that's happened to his sons. "It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate and his neck broke and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of the death of the woman that stood by her said unto her, 'Fear not, for thou hast borne a son.' But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, 'The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband had died.' And she said, 'The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken.'" So what she's saying is, the name Ichabod means the glory of God is gone. And I remember being in a church, and they did a very evil thing. They got rid of the pastor we had and hired a homosexual. And the very day that they voted for him to come in, the Lord told me, 1 year and this place will be done. So Ichabod went on the place that day.
Wow.
And a year later, right to the day, the place closed. And they'd build another building over by it. And eventually, the new little church bought the ground where the church was. And they were going to use that lumber to build on more, greater. And the termites had eaten clear into the rafters. They had eaten that so bad there wasn't any boards that were any good. And it's a wonder that the bell didn't crown somebody, fall right out of the top. The termites had consumed that building. So they had to pile it up and burn it. They used not one board from that building. Why? Because Ichabod went up over the door. Praise the Lord. The glory of the Lord has departed. Now, the Philistines, when they took the ark, let's start in chapter 5. This began to plague them. The Philistines took the ark of God and brought it to Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. This is their great god. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. When they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both his palms and his hands were cut off before the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came unto Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod, even to this day.
Wow.
Their stone god, or whatever he was made out of, with the Ark of the Covenant there, he fell down. Fell right off his perch. And I'm pretty sure it was a pretty good-sized statue. And they hoisted it back up, and the next day they came in, and his head was gone, his hands was gone. There was just a pile of rock there, just form, with nothing left. And it says even to this day, they don't cross into that threshold. You know, people go over to Israel, they go in the Dome of the Rock, they take their shoes off, and they step into that threshold. They're calling down a curse upon themselves. Because why? They're coming into the temple of a false god. Muhammad is not God. See, by stepping in on that, they're defiling themselves. And see, so the tourists come, they have no idea what they're doing. And so, the Ark of the Covenant at this time is very powerful. It's all things. Now, if we follow the story, the Philistines began to have hemorrhoids and mice. Have you ever seen that picture in Australia in the movies where the mice multiplied? And I mean, they're just every place. I mean, you can't even walk without stepping on mice. They're in the houses. And I don't know if they got them all poisoned or not, but there was just this plague of mice came. So here you got all these mice. And a lot of the Philistines are dying. And every place they move the ark, there's a plague comes on them. And finally they're saying, we got to do something about this. So they get their diviners and their everybody they can think of and says, what are we going to do? And so they said, we better send it back to Israel, get rid of this. And so they made some golden mice and some golden hemorrhoids, and they put them beside the ark. And very interesting, let's go to chapter 6. And verse 7. This is the power of God, and this is how they knew that this was a sign from heaven. I remember reading this to a guy one time, and he almost got slobbering mad at me. He was an unbeliever. He didn't like this story, but I do. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two cows on which there has come no yoke, and tie the cows to the cart and bring their calves home from them. In other words, separate the calves from the cows. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around a dairy, but you ain't going to put no harness on a cow unless she's been taught from a little calf to lead and so on. You put a horn, boy, they'll just take off and snort and beller and jump around just like a horse. Never had a saddle on. And you're not going to get them away from their calf. I remember many times down in the pasture taking the truck down and getting the cow around the front of the truck, getting the calf in the truck and racing for the barn and the cow right behind you. Because she'll take you out. That's her calf, boy. And I mean, they're very protective. So, You're getting the picture we got here, okay? Verse 8, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of gold which ye return him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own to the coast of Beth Shemesh. Then he has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not the hand that smote us. And it was by chance it happened to us. In other words, what they're saying is, if that cart doesn't go anyplace, then this is just by chance. But if it goes, then we know the hand of God was the one that was doing this to us. Okay? And the men did so and took the two cows and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer of mice of gold and the image of their emeroids. And the cows took straightway to the way of Beth Shemesh and went along the highway lowing as they went and turned not aside to the right, to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. In other words, these cows are bawling for their calves, but they're heading back into the land of Israel. The calves are behind, and they're bawling for the calves. They've never been harnessed, and yet they're staying right in line, and they're walking just like nice cattle right over where Israel is. And that was a sign to the Philistines. Then God has put this curse on us, and we're glad to get rid of this ark because it's destroyed our God. Our great God fell on his face, and his head and his hands fell off. And then we got hemorrhoids, and we got these mice every place. You know, so they said, good riddance. And now they know for a surety, because if the cows would just run berserk, they'd have said, well, this is just something that just happened. Now they know. Now let's go on down to verse 19. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. These are the Israelites. And he smote the people 50,000 and 70 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before the holy Lord God? And to whom shall we go up, shall go up from us? They sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. How come so many men died? They weren't priests. They weren't sanctified to fool with that ark. And he certainly wasn't supposed to be grabbing hold of them looking in it. And so he slaughtered a whole bunch of them for that. And he says, get somebody down here and get this ark. And the rest of the story is they sanctified a man of God to go down there so they can handle the ark and bring it out of that place. So in the Old Testament, the power of God was without very much mercy. If you fouled up, I mean, you know, it could happen to you. But see, we're under grace. We make mistakes that in those days you'd be dead. And see, God has come and given us mercy and grace and put up with us. My God, he's put up with us. These guys didn't have a clue. They didn't know. I mean, here's the ark, and they're glad to get it back, and they're overlooking, you know. They didn't know. Ignorance won't save you. You know, they say ignorance is bliss. That's right from the pit. You better figure out what's going on. You better know who the enemy is and learn how to fight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so when the ark went to this other place, they had great blessings begin to come upon them. Because why? They knew how to handle it. Now, I want to go from there to the New Testament, to Luke. Got to find chapter 11. Yeah, Luke 11 and verse 27. And what we're going to see is greater than the ark has come. Greater than anything else has come. We're going to see that. Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. See, we have become greater than the ark. Because why? Jesus lives in here. On the ark he sat. That was where his presence was. Now his presence is here in our hearts. Let's think about that. It's awesome. We have an awesome God. And he built a house. It said if God didn't build a house, then it ain't going to work. So He set it up that we would be the tabernacle. We would be the dwelling place of Jesus. There's another scripture in there that says we won't remember the ark anymore. Now the Jews are looking for it, and there's going to be a process of them setting it in the temple. But that doesn't pertain to us because we're already filled with the Holy Ghost. We're already filled with the presence of Jesus. Greater than the ark is within us. Think about it. Greater than the ark is within us. Look how much power was around the ark. Okay, look at 27. It came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lift up her voice and said to him, this woman's talking to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, or do it. See, she's trying to lift Mary up here. And he doesn't even get on that trail at all. He says, more blessed are those that hear the word of God and do it. Are you following what that's saying there? Remember another time his mother, Mary, and his brothers and sisters was out this room and it was full, and they're knocking on the door and somebody come in and says, your mother and brethren are without, and they want in. So run a few people out so they can come in. Jesus says, who is my mother and brethren? All of you here who believe in me, that's my mother and my brethren. He cut off this. Mary was blessed above women. Make no mistake about it, but not to be worshipped. See, and it's saying it very clearly here. There's no worship there. He says, no, more blessed is the one that hears my word and keeps it. Yes?
On my way to work every day, there's a big billboard out in South Salem with a big picture of the Virgin Mary.
Uh-huh.
And the caption says, she loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's about a radio station, a Catholic radio station.
Uh-huh.
I thought to myself, yeah, she loved me. How
did
she love me? She's dead.
Yeah, amen. Jesus is alive. Very good.
Amen.
Okay, now, let's follow this on because it gets good here. When the people were gathered thick together, I like that, thick together. Must have been a whole bunch of them. You know, I never seen that before, thick together. Shoulder to shoulder. Man, what are we talking? Sardines here? Okay. Thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation that seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. See, now, they're not going to get that. Jonah was in the whale 3 days. Jesus is going to die and be in the earth 3 days and then raise on the third day. They don't get what he's saying here, but we do because we know what's going on. Praise the Lord. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Remember Jonah tried to get away from God? Went on this ship and everything was going bad and they finally pitched him overboard. They just tossed him in the ocean and he went down to the deep and this big fish came along, swallowed him. In 3 days first submarine ride, this fish vomited him up on the beach at Nineveh. See, he tried to go the other way, and this fish got him and burped him up right on the beach. Can you imagine what a sweet smelling fragrance he had? There wasn't no roses there, you know. And here he is, and he comes up out of the water, and he says, repent, you know. Boy, this guy is powerful, you know. We better do something here. And see, all of Nineveh repented. The king even put out a decree to shut off the food and water and everything. They even had the chickens on a fast. I mean, everything. I mean, when that king got the idea, I mean, he went for it. Okay, let's go on. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Look at that. You know, we're talking about the Queen of Sheba. Okay, she came up and ended up marrying Solomon. But he says, greater than Solomon is here. Greater than the ark is here. Greater than anything else. Now get this in mind. Here's this carpenter's son. And he's saying, I'm him. Old Muhammad Ali used to say, I am the greatest. He was a draft dodger. He wasn't great, nothing. But this guy, this Jesus, he can say it. I am the greatest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I missed that on Dagon a little bit ago. I think that's why we say Dagon it, you know. Well, he was gone, wasn't he? Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He said, greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah. He's saying, greater than anybody. Now, what do you suppose that religious crowd is thinking about now? He's saying, I am. I'm great. But he also said, what's in me is what does the works. Jesus didn't ever say, I personally am great because I'm Jesus. I am great because the Father dwells in me. The Father sent me. I say what he tells me to say, and I do what I see him do. So all the lepers that were cleansed and all the healing had happened, the Father was leading him and showing him exactly what to do. He says, I am the greatest. But the Father, he said, is greater than I. I come from the Father and I go back to the Father. Hallelujah. This is God. Hallelujah. I love it. 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. What's that song? Won't put under a candlestick. Won't let Satan put it out. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't put under a bushel box, I'm going to let it shine. Won't put under a bushel box, I'm going to let it shine. Won't put under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Praise the Lord. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. It says the eye is the window into the soul. Be careful what you look at. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no dark part, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee brought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down at meat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Can you imagine Jesus going to dinner and not washing his hands? Another place, the disciples were picking corn, and they got on because you're not washing your hands. He marveled at that because they had a great thing. They just washed everything like a raccoon. You ever give a raccoon something? You give him an ice cream cone, he's got it in there. If there's a pan of water, he'll wash it for a while. And the Lord said unto the Pharisees, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's telling them, you got all kinds of things. You're tithing, you're doing all these things, but there's no love. Where's the love of God? There isn't any. No mercy. They had no mercy for anybody. I'm sure they didn't even like themselves. And he's saying, you know, you can wash the outside, we can shower. What's on the inside? What's in here? What's in your heart? See, it hasn't got to do with B.O. It's got to do with what's in your heart. It's not got to do with clothes. It's what's in your heart. That's why I tell people that you can bring somebody here and they can come in a fine suit or they can come in shorts if they want to. Who cares? Jesus don't. He wants to know what's in the heart. What are you doing here? We love Jesus. That's why we're all here today. 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees. 43. For ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings at the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men walk over them, and they're not aware of them. He's saying, you're dead. He's saying, you're dead inside. Mm-hmm. And see, it says in another place that it isn't what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out. So it's what? It's right off the tongue. What did Paul say? The tongue is a deadly evil, a deadly poison. Who can tame the tongue? God. It's the only one that can tame it. So unless we come to the Lord, there's no taming of the tongue. You can have all the riches of the world, and it says, and you lose your soul. What's the profit? A man can be poor and be rich. And you can be rich and you can be so poor and desolate. You know, these rich people of the world that have all these millions, you know what they do? They sit around worrying about making more and losing what they already got. And do you know that the way that the world system is set up now, and money is all on computer, as it were, you know, like the stock markets goes up and down, all this. You know that guys with millions and billions, if everything would crash, they'd lose it? Yeah. They haven't got it in their pocket. It's on paper. It's on computer. So overnight, the richest men in the world could be paupers. Just like in the 29 when the banks closed, there were millionaires the next day or next week on the streets of New York selling apples, apple peddlers. They went from a high office down on the street. But I'm telling you, if you got Jesus, you're never going to go down. All we have to worry about is going up. In fact, we ain't worried about it. We know. It's going to happen. So we're looking today. What are we finding out? He who is in us is greater than the ark, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, greater than all of these kings, because Jesus is in here. That's who you are. And we need to tell ourselves who we are. We're not just poor, half-cooked worm on a sidewalk. We're somebody. Jesus chose us. We didn't choose him. And he says, I want you. And I want you. And I want you. And who's going to do the work today? The 70. No names. But I don't know if they were men or women, boys, girls. We don't know who they were. We just know that Jesus said, go out and do these things. And they went. And now we even have a greater power than they had because they took the name of Jesus and used it. And the Spirit was with them. Now it's in us. Spirit has come to dwell within. Yeah.
Yep.
And no matter what you've gone through, and no matter what's going on in your life right now, Jesus can set you free.
Yeah. Thank you.
And if you've gone to him and said, Lord, I missed it, forgive me, it's already gone into the sea of forgetfulness. It says, I remember it no more. God says, I remember it no more. So why should you remember it? You got to let it go. Greater is he that's within us than the ark or anything else. Greater than Solomon has come. Now, that's not to pump your flesh up, because your flesh is still weak. It's what's in here. That's the greatness. Greater and greater, great is the Lord. You want to come out and tell about the man last night? Father, I thank you today for this word that will sink into our spirits and know that if God be for us, who can stand against us? Jesus is Lord and King. And he dwells in a clay body. Same as when he was here, he's in us now. Jesus is all over the world because he has grown by the Holy Spirit. And he covers the earth. Said, I've overcome the world. Lord, and I thank you that we were more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who saved us. We'll just give you the praise. And all God's children said, amen.
Hello. It's not on. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Had this lady in the car last night. Picked her up in Lake Oswego and started driving, and I said, where are we going? Well, we're going to Dolphin, a nudie bar. So I'm thinking, okay. So we're going down the road, and she asked me, she had this little thing in the car called a Furby. You ever know what a Furby is? A Furby is a little doll. Well, I learned something. A Furby is a programmable doll that you can talk to, and you can teach it to speak back to you. And it'll learn from you, and as you teach this doll, it'll begin to have conversations with you. So when I got out of the car, I talked to the Furby and said, who's in you? I thought it was going to talk back to me. Yeah, we go down the road, and she's talking about, we're going to this nudie bar. She's a dancer. And she says, I'm a Christian. I go, oh, you are, huh? And I said, yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I have a good heart. I said, I'll tell you what. The sexually immoral, the unbelieving, the adulterers or sorcerers will have their part in the lake of fire, and that's what's going to happen to you. She goes, whoa. I go, hey, you know what? You said you're a Christian, and I'm telling you right now, as a Christian brother, I'm telling you, you know, if you say you are with me, you better hear this. Now, she got a little mad, but, you know, too bad. Okay, and I mean, I'm not trying to brag about that, but God puts people in my cab. And like that one night, I was in using the bathroom. I said, Lord, shut down Mary's. I meant Mary's where I was at, but there's two things down there in Mary's. And I said it, and then that week Mary's shut down. It was the next block over. The oldest gay bar in Portland, one of the oldest. It's moved up. Actually, it's moved up into the gay district even farther, but it's off of Broadway now. So I think God answered my prayer. Now, last night we had a guy in the cab, just got out of dialysis, and he's a Baptist man. He's a wonderful man of God. He's really cool. And he was suffering. The first night I had him a couple weeks ago, and I said, would you have Bud pray for you? And he goes, no. Okay, last night he had been a lot of suffering, and he really went through a lot of agony on dialysis and had a lot of pain, muscle cramps. He told me, and I said, how about tonight? Yes. Boom. So I wake up Bud. A little payback here. And Bud starts to pray for him, and he begins to weep. But it wasn't for sorrow. He just weeped, but the presence of the Lord started coming on him, and he was weeping, and he got blessed. And I just really, and I asked him, what did he tell you what he felt? What did he say to you? I asked him, and he was kind of mumbling a little bit. He felt empowered or something, he said. Yeah, he did. And he said that he felt a lot better. And this man's a Baptist man, and he received this, the Spirit was all over him. So I just want to give, you know, glory to Jesus and thank Bud for being available to pray for people, and I can keep making money. Oh, one other thing. I had another lady in the cab, a drug addict. She flagged me downtown Portland and took me to Vancouver, Washington, and ripped me off for $27. When she got mad, her mom's going to pay. Okay, great. So Bud prays for her in the cab, and she prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She'd already said she'd been saved when she was 8. She's been struggling. And I got a hold of her mom, and her mom said she's at wit's end. She spent thousands of dollars on this gal. She's given up on her. She just cast her out. And Bud prayed, and she got the power, and I think God set that one up. And she did rip me off, but that's okay. So if you want to think about this later, her name is Jennifer, and she's running the streets in Portland right now, and she's doing drugs, and she's stealing from people, and, you know. But God had her in my cab. So I'm done. Yeah.
Lord, we just lift up Jennifer right now, Lord. When she prayed to get filled with power, and she felt it. It came. But Lord, that's power that we're talking about today, greater than Solomon is within her. Lord, and we thank you, greater than the ark is within her. Jesus came in full time with power. Holy Ghost, fire. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to be lifted out of the miry clay. And Lord, I break all the spirits of inheritance off of her and the sins and iniquities of the fathers, Lord, and she's going to be free. She's going to get back in that cab, and she's going to witness about it. And I thank you for that right now. Tell that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea in Jesus' name. Amen. We go to, just a minute. You want to come up? You guys raise your hands and I'm thinking. We go to Corvallis on Thursday nights, and there was a lady down there. She'd got the roofer from Newport to pray for her uncle in Wisconsin. Now, if you don't know, the roofer is Martha Plunkett. The reason we call her the roofer is she prays over the phone and people are healed of shingles. So the roofer prays for this guy in Wisconsin, and he's got shingles up the side of his face. It's inside his mouth. It's affecting his eye. I mean, just horrible. And he's on the mend. He's a lot better. Yeah, you bet. She's a shingler. And so the lady that got her to, you know, got connected so she could pray was there, and she forgot her hearing aids. And so she got up for prayer, and when I prayed for her to break the spirit of inheritance, the sins of the fathers, iniquities, she sat down in the Davenport, and there's a gal there that talks real quiet. And she's quite a ways away. She says, I can hear every word you're saying. The Lord unstopped her ears. I mean, she could hear a whisper. Isn't that neat? That's the first time that I've ever prayed and had ears unstopped. You know, people that are real deaf. So why not? Huh? No, I didn't pray at all. I didn't even know that she'd forgot her hearing aids. I didn't know nothing about it. I just prayed to break the generational curses. And she sat back down and bingo. You know, I've seen a gal one time come out of Alzheimer's. Like she just woke up when we prayed that prayer. Yeah, deafness is in the generations. And so this gal was just like, you know, like she woke up. She was suffering from Alzheimer's. Her tongue was swelled up in her mouth. She couldn't talk. You know, and and we prayed that prayer, went downtown, came back half an hour later. She was talking intelligently. Her tongue, the swelling was gone.
Awesome.
Woo!
Awesome.
It's an awesome God. Awesome. So I pray that over people anytime you get the chance. The spirit of inheritance, the sins of iniquity of the fathers. Break those curses. Family. Anybody else got something? Yeah.
Hi. Hello? I don't know if everybody knows me. My name is Lorraine. For the last 2 years, I've been clean and sober as of September. Anyway, for the last 2 years, I've also had temp jobs. And as of Thursday, I got hired on at Kaiser Permanente. I'm making $10.55 an hour.
We heard from Bob and Susie. Susie went right back to work with, what was it, Walmart? And minimum wage was like $5.15 or something. They started back out at $6.50 an hour. And Bob was going for an interview at the sugar plant. He got it. Okay, so Bob's working too. $10 an hour. So, yeah. Anybody heard from Amy or Pam? No. We'll get a report. Anybody else got something that... Yes. That's funny. This morning she says, I'm blessed. And I said, well, you're going to have a baby? I did. Yeah, I did. That's the first thing I said. Kevin, you got something? Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Okay, first of all, the little kid that was back there, he said how much he appreciated the pastor. And several times on the radio I hear about Pastor's Appreciation Day, and I want to do something, but I'm at work, and when I get home, I forget about it. So all the pastors, Bud, Daryl, Peggy, and Mary Lou, she's not here, we thank you. We really appreciate that. And Bobby Roberts.
He said we won twice. That's what he said.
Yeah. So praise the Lord. Another thing is we appreciate dances. We love them. I would love to get them on video. And we've been wanting to put a chart and a box up, but I've been forgetting about it. So anybody who wants to tithe a little extra money so we can get a camcorder, we did some research on it. It's going to cost about $1,000. Yeah, for a good one. And so if anybody thinks about it and would like to see videos of her dancing, show her friends, I believe it's very anointing. I get goosebumps back there when she dances. Plus our picnics and all that would be nice to have on video. We're going to grow with our machinery. We're going to grow with our church, and we're going to grow with our people. So praise the Lord.
Well, Friday night I watching TBN and they had Hal Lindsey on there and Grant Jeffries and a couple others and they were talking about the end times and walking into the year 2000 and they said there was no significance closing out 99 and walking into the year 2000. There was nothing to look at or anything. You know, but in about the middle of this last September, there was a shift in the heavenlies, and the Lord is crying out for repentance to the church and the church body. And I believe that through we have 3 months into December 31st, and the song is you just have to get in your quiet place and listen to the song of repentance being sung by the Lord. And He's calling us. He's calling all of us. I believe, and if you've noticed, in the last 3 years, there has been a steady increase in the anointing. It has been climbing. It has been day by day, as a penny is laid down, it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. For God said in Joel, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And He is doing that gradually. And I believe as we step out of 99 and into the